are problems.
What problems?
He shook his head. I don't know how much I should say, legitimately. So, I'm just going to take a few guesses, okay? And I don't want you to respond at all, not a word. It might put you in a difficult position.
Difficult how?
You'll see, later. She probably told you she comes from a rich, wine-growing family north of San Francisco, right?
Reacher said nothing.
She told you she met Sloop at UCLA, where they were students together.
Reacher said nothing.
She told you Sloop got her pregnant, and they had to get married, and as a consequence, her parents cut her off.
Reacher said nothing.
She told you Sloop hit her from the time she was pregnant. She said there were serious injuries that Sloop made her pass off as riding accidents.
Reacher said nothing.
She claimed it was her who tipped off the IRS, which made her all the more frantic about Sloop coming home.
Reacher said nothing.
Okay, Walker said. Now, strictly speaking, anything she told you is merely hearsay and is inadmissible in court, even though they were spontaneous statements that indicated how acute her anguish was. So in a situation like this, her lawyer will try hard to get the hearsay admitted, because it goes to her state of mind. And there are provisions that might allow it. Obviously, most DAs would fight it, but this office wouldn't. We'd tend to allow it, because we know marital abuse can be covert. My instinct would be to allow anything that gets us nearer to the truth. So let's say you or a person like you were allowed to testify. You'd paint a pretty horrible picture. And in the circumstances, what with his return home looming over her and all, the jury might tend to be sympathetic. They might overlook the element of premeditation. She might get a not guilty verdict.
So where's the problem?
Problem is, if you testified, you'd be cross-examined, too.
So?
Walker looked down at the desk again.
Let me take a couple more guesses.
Don't respond. And please, if I'm guessing wrong, don't be offended. If I'm wrong, I apologize most sincerely, in advance. Okay?
Okay.
My guess is the premeditation was extensive. My guess is she thought about it, and then she tried to recruit you to do it for her.
Reacher said nothing.
My guess is she didn't pick you up by accident. She selected you in some way and tried hard to persuade you.
Reacher said nothing. Walker swallowed.
Another guess, he said. She offered you sex as a bribe.
Reacher said nothing.
Another guess, Walker said. She didn't give up. At some stage, she tried again to get you into bed.
Reacher said nothing.
You see, Walker said, if I'm right, and I think I am, because I know this woman, all that stuff would come out, too, under cross-examination. Evidence of thorough preparation. Unless you were to lie on the stand, or unless we didn't ask the right questions, but assuming we asked the right questions, and you told us the truth, the whole premeditation issue would be damaged. Very seriously. Probably fatally.
Reacher said nothing.
And it gets worse, I'm afraid, Walker said.
Much worse.
Because if she's told you things, what matters then is her
credibility. Right? Specifically, was she telling you the truth about the abuse, or was she not? We'd test that by asking you questions we do know the answers to. So under cross-examination, we'd ask you innocent stuff first, like who she is and where she's from, and you'd tell us what she told you. And? And her credibility would fall apart. Next stop, death by lethal injection.
Why?
Because I know this woman, and she makes things up.
What things?
Everything. I've heard her stories, over and over. Did she, in fact, tell you she's from a rich wine-growing family? Reacher nodded. More or less. She said she's from 1,000 acres in the Napa Valley, isn't she?
Walker shook his head.
She's from some barrio in South Central L.A. Nobody knows anything about her parents. She probably doesn't either.
Reacher was quiet for a moment. Then he shrugged.
Disguising a humble background isn't a crime. She was never a student at UCLA. She was a stripper.
She was a whore, Reacher. She serviced the UCLA frat parties, among other things. Sloop met her when she was performing. Part of her repertoire was an interesting little trick with a long-neck beer bottle.
He fell for her.
Somehow. You know, let me take you away from all this sort of thing. I guess I can understand it. She's cute now. She was stunning then. And smart. She looked at Sloop and saw a rich man's son from Texas with a big, fat wallet. She saw a meal ticket. She went to live with him. Came off the pill and lied about it and got herself pregnant. Whereupon Sloop did the decent thing because he was like that, in a gentlemanly way. She suckered him, and he let her.
I don't believe you.
Walker shrugged.
Doesn't matter if you do or if you don't, and I'll tell you exactly why in a moment. But it's all true, I'm afraid. She had brains. She knew what happens to whores when they get old. It goes right downhill. And it doesn't start very high, does it?
She wanted a way out, and Sloop was it. She bled him for years. Diamonds, horses, everything.
I don't believe you, Reacher said again.
Walker nodded.
She's very convincing, can't argue with that.
Even if it is true, does it justify him hitting her?
Walker paused a beat.
No. Of course not, he said. But here's the big problem. The thing is, he didn't hit her. Never, Reacher. He wasn't violent with her, not ever. I knew Sloop. He was a lot of things, and to be absolutely honest about it, not all of them were good. He was lazy. He was a little casual in business, a little dishonest, to be truthful. I'm not wearing rose-colored spectacles, but all his faults came from the feeling he was a Texan gentleman. I'm very aware of that, because I was a poor boy by comparison, practically trash. He had the big ranch and the money. It made him a little arrogant and superior. Hence, the laziness and the impatience with strict principle. But part of being a gentleman in Texas is you would never, ever hit a woman. Whoever the woman was, not ever. So she's making all that up, too.
I know it. He never hit her, I promise you that.
Reacher shook his head.
What you promised me doesn't prove a damn thing. I mean, what else would you say? You were his friend. Walker nodded again. I take your point, but there's nothing else to go on. There's just nothing there. Absolutely no evidence, no witnesses, no nothing. We were close. I was with them 1,000 times. I heard about the horseback riding accidents as they happened. There weren't that many, and they seemed genuine. We'll ask for the medical records, of course, but I don't hold out much hope they'll be ambiguous. You said it yourself. Abuse can be covert. That covert? I'm a DA, Reacher. I've seen everything. Some lone couple in a trailer park? Maybe. But Sloop and Carmen lived with family, and they saw friends every day. And before you told the story to Alice Aaron, nobody in the whole of Texas had ever heard the faintest whiff of a rumor about violence between them. Not me, not Al, nobody. So do you understand what I mean? There's no evidence. All we've got is her word, and you're the only other person who ever heard it. But if you take the stand to back her up, then her trial is over before it's begun. Because the other stuff you'll have to say will prove she's a pathological liar. Like, did she say she had tipped off the IRS? Yes, she did. She said she called them. Some special unit. Walker shook his head. They caught him through bank records. It was just a purely accidental byproduct of an audit on somebody else. She knew nothing about it. I know that for sure, for an absolute fact, because Sloop went straight to Al Eugene and Al came straight to me for advice. I saw the indictment, black and white. Carmen is a liar, Reacher. Pure and simple. Or maybe not pure and simple. Maybe there are some very complicated reasons behind it. Reacher paused a long moment. Maybe she is a liar, he said. But liars can still get abused, same as anybody else. And abuse can be covert. You don't know it wasn't happening. Walker nodded. I agree. I don't know, but I would bet my life it wasn't. She convinced me. She probably convinced herself. She lives in a fantasy world. I know her, Reacher. She's a liar, is all, and she's guilty of first-degree homicide. So why are we talking? Walker paused. Can I trust you? He asked. Does it matter? Reacher said. Walker went very quiet, just stared at his office wall a whole minute, then another, and another. The boom of the air conditioners crowded into the silence. Yes, it matters, he said. It matters. Plenty. To Carmen and to me. Because right now you're reading me completely wrong. I'm not an angry friend trying to protect my old buddy's reputation. Fact is, I want to find a defense for Carmen. Don't you see that? Even invent one. You know, maybe just pretend the abuse happened and backpedal like crazy on the premeditation. I'm seriously tempted. Because then I don't need to charge her at all, and I can probably save my shot at the judgeship. The silence came back, nothing but the air conditioner motors and telephones ringing faintly outside the office door, the distant chatter of a fax machine. I want to go see her, Reacher said. Walker shook his head. Can't let you. You're not her lawyer. You could bend the rules. Walker sighed again and dropped his head into his hands.
Please, don't tempt me. Right now, I'm thinking about throwing the rules off the top of the building.
Reacher said nothing. Walker stared into space, his eyes jumping with strain.
I want to figure out her real motive, he said finally. Because if it was something real cold, like money, I don't have a choice. She has to go down.
Reacher said nothing.
But if it wasn't, I want you to help me, Walker said. If her medical records are remotely plausible, I want to try to save her with the abuse thing.
Reacher said nothing.
Okay, what I really mean is I want to try to save myself, Walker said. Try to save my chances in the election. But both things, okay? Her and me. Ellie, too. She's a great kid. Snoop loved her. So what would you want from me?
If we go down that road. Reacher nodded.
If, he said. I'd want you to lie on the stand, Walker said.
I'd want you to repeat what she told you about the beatings and modify what she told you about everything else in order to preserve her credibility.
Reacher said nothing.
That's why I need to trust you, Walker said. And that's why I needed to lay everything out for you, so you know exactly what you're getting into with her.
I've never done that sort of a thing before.
Neither have I, Walker said. It's killing me just to talk about it.
Reacher was quiet for a long moment. Why do you assume I'd want to? He asked.
I think you like her, Walker said. I think you feel sorry for her. I think you want to help her. Therefore, indirectly, you could help me.
How would you work it?
Walker shrugged. I'll be withdrawn from the case from the start, so one of my assistants will be handling it. I'll find out exactly what she can prove for sure, and I'll coach you on it so you don't get tripped up. That's why I can't let you go see Carmen now. They keep a record downstairs. It would look like prior collusion.
I don't know, Reacher said.
I don't either. But maybe it won't have to go all the way to trial. If the medical evidence is a little flexible, and we take a deposition from Carmen and one from you, then maybe dropping the charges altogether would be justified.
Lying in a deposition would be just as bad.
Think about Ellie.
And your judgeship.
Walker nodded. I'm not hiding that from you. I want to get elected, no doubt about it. But it's for an honest reason. I want to make things better, Reacher. It's always been my ambition. Work my way up, improve things from the inside. It's the only way. For a person like me, anyway, I've got no influence as a lobbyist. I'm not a politician, really. I find all that stuff embarrassing. I don't have the skills.
Reacher said nothing.
Let me think it over, Walker said.
A day or two. I'll take it from there.
You sure?
Walker sighed again.
No, of course I'm not sure. I hate this whole thing.
But what the hell? Sloop's dead. Nothing's going to change that. Nothing's going to bring him back.
It'll trash his memory, of course. But it would save Carmen. And he loved her, Reacher. In a way nobody else could ever understand. The disapproval he brought down on himself was unbelievable. From his family, from polite society, he'd be happy to exchange his reputation for her life, I think. His life for her life.
effectively. He'd exchange mine, or Al's, or anybody's, probably. He loved her. There was silence again. She needs bail, Reacher said. Please, Walker said. It's out of the question. Ellie needs her. That's a bigger issue than bail, Walker said. Ellie can stand a couple of days with her grandmother. It's the rest of her life we need to worry about. Give me time to work this out. Reacher shrugged and stood up. This is all in strict confidence, right? Walker said. I guess I should have made that clear right from the start. Reacher nodded. Get back to me, he said. Then he stood up and walked out the room. 12.
One simple question, Alice said. Is it plausible that domestic abuse could be so covert that close friends are totally unaware of it?
I don't know, Reacher said. I don't have much experience.
Neither do I.
They were on opposite sides of Alice's desk in the back of the legal mission. It was the middle of the day, and the heat was so brutal it was enforcing a de facto siesta on the whole town. Nobody was out and about who didn't desperately need to be. The mission was largely deserted. Just Alice and Reacher and one other lawyer 20 feet away. The inside temperature was easily over 110 degrees. The humidity was rising. The ancient air conditioner above the door was making no difference at all. Alice had changed into shorts again. She was leaning back in her chair, arms above her head, her back arched off the sticky vinyl. She was slick with sweat from head to foot. Over the tan, it made her skin look oiled. Reacher's shirt was soaked. He was reconsidering its projected 3-day lifespan.
It's a catch-22, Alice said. Abuse you know about isn't covert. Really covert abuse, you might assume it isn't happening. Like, I assume my dad isn't beating my mom. But maybe he is. Who would know? What about yours?
Reacher smiled. I doubt it. He was a U.S. Marine. Big guy. Not especially genteel. But then, you should have seen my mother. Maybe she was beating him.
So, yes or no about Carmen and Sloop?
She convinced me, Reacher said. No doubt about it.
Despite everything.
She convinced me, he said again. Maybe she's all kinds of a liar about other things, but he was beating her. That's my belief.
Alice looked at him, a lawyer's question in her eyes.
No doubt at all, she asked.
No doubt at all, he said.
Okay, but a difficult case just got a lot harder, and I hate it when that happens.
Me too, he said. But hard is not the same thing as impossible.
You understand the exact legalities here?
He nodded. It's not rocket science. She's in deep shit whichever way you cut it. If there was abuse, she's blown it anyway by being so premeditated. If there wasn't, then it's murder one, pure and simple. And whatever, she has zero credibility because she lies and exaggerates. Ball game over. If Walker didn't want to be judged so bad.
Exactly, Alice said.
You happy about riding that kind of luck?
No. Neither am I.
Not morally, not practically, Alice said.
Anything could happen here. Maybe Hack's got a love child somewhere, and it'll come out and he'll have to withdraw anyway. Maybe he likes to have sex with armadillos. It's a long time until November. Counting on him to stay electable no matter what would be foolish. So his tactical problem with Carmen
could disappear at any time, so she needs a properly structured defense.
Reacher smiled again. You're even smarter than I figured.
I thought you were going to say than I looked.
I think more lawyers should dress that way.
You need to stay off the stand, she said. Much safer for her. No deposition, either. Without you, the gun is the only thing that suggests premeditation. And we should be able to argue that buying the gun and actually using it weren't necessarily closely connected. Maybe she bought it for another reason.
Reacher said nothing.
They're testing it now, she said, over at the lab. Ballistics and fingerprints. Two sets of prints, they say. Hers, I guess. Maybe his, too. Maybe they struggled over it. Maybe the whole thing was an accident.
Reacher shook his head. The second set must be mine. She asked me to teach her how to shoot. We went up on the mesa and practiced.
When?
Saturday. The day before he got home. She stared at him.
Christ! Reacher! She said. You definitely stay off the stand, okay?
I plan to.
What about if things change and they subpoena you?
Then I'll lie, I guess.
Can you?
I was a cop of sorts for 13 years. It wouldn't be a totally radical concept.
What would you say about your prints on the gun?
I'd say I found it dumped somewhere, innocently gave it back to her. Make it look like she had reconsidered after buying it.
You comfortable with saying stuff like that?
If the ends justify the means, I am. And I think they do here. She's given herself a problem proving it is all. You?
She nodded. A case like this? I guess so. I don't care about the lies about her background. People do stuff like that all the time, all kinds of reasons. So all that's left is the premeditation thing. And most other states, premeditation wouldn't be an issue. They recognize the reality. A battered woman can't necessarily be effective on the spur of the moment. Sometimes she needs to wait until he's drunk or asleep. You know, bide her time. There are lots of cases like that in other jurisdictions.
So where do we start?
Where we're forced to,
Alice said.
Which is a pretty bad place.
The circumstantial evidence is overwhelming. Res ipsa loquitur, they call it. The thing speaks for itself. Her bedroom, her gun, her husband lying there dead on the floor. That's murder one. We leave it like that, they'll convict her on the first vote.
So? So, we backpedal on the premeditation, and then we prove the abuse through the medical records. I already started the paperwork. We joined with the DA's office for a common cause subpoena. All Texas hospitals and all neighboring states. Domestic violence, that's standard procedure, because people sometimes drive all over to hide it. The hospitals generally react pretty fast, so we should get the records overnight. Then it's res ipsa loquitur again. If the injuries were caused by violence, then the records will at least show they could have been. That's just common sense. Then she takes the stand and she talks about the abuse. She'll have to take it on the chin over the bullshit stories about her past, but if we present it right, she could even look quite good. No shame in being an ex-hooker trying to reform. We could build up some sympathy there.
You sound like a pretty good lawyer.
She smiled. For one so young.
Well, what are you? 2 years out of school?
6 months,
she said.
But you learn fast down here.
Evidently.
Whatever, with careful jury selection, we'll get at least half and half don't-knows and not-guilties. The not-guilties will wear down the don't-knows within a couple of days, especially if it's this hot. Reacher pulled the soaked fabric of his shirt off his skin. Can't stay this hot much longer, can it?
Hey, I'm talking about next summer, Alice said. That's if she's lucky. Could be the summer after that.
He stared at her. You're kidding. She shook her head.
The record around here is 4 years in jail between arrest and trial.
What about Ellie?
She shrugged. Just pray the medical records look real good. If they do, we've got a shot at getting Hack to drop the charges altogether. He's got a lot of latitude.
He wouldn't need much pushing, Reacher said, the mood he's in.
So, look on the bright side. This whole thing could be over in a couple of days.
When are you going to go see her?
Later this afternoon. First, I'm going to the bank to cash a $20,000 check. Then I'm going to put the money in a grocery bag and drive out and deliver it to some very happy people.
Okay, Reacher said.
I don't want to know what you did to get it.
I just asked for it.
I don't want to know,
she said again.
But you should come with me and meet them, and be my bodyguard. Not every day I carry $20,000 around the Wild West in a grocery bag. And it'll be cool in the car.
Okay, Reacher said again.
The bank showed no particular excitement about forking over 20 grand in mixed bills. The teller treated it like a completely routine part of her day. She just counted the money 3 times and stacked it carefully in a brown paper grocery bag Alice provided for the purpose. Reacher carried it back to the parking lot for her. But she didn't need him to. There was no danger of getting mugged. The fearsome heat had just about cleared the streets, and what few people remained were moving slowly and listlessly. The interior of the VW had heated up to the point where they couldn't get in right away. Alice started the air going and left the doors open until the blowers took 30 degrees off it. It was probably still over 100 when they slid inside, but it felt cool. All things are relative. Alice drove, heading north and east. She was good, better than him. She didn't stall out a single time.
There'll be a storm, she said.
Everybody tells me that, he said, but I don't see it coming.
You ever felt heat like this before?
Maybe, he said, once or twice. Saudi Arabia, the Pacific. But Saudi is drier and the Pacific is wetter, so not exactly. The sky ahead of them was light blue, so hot it looked white. The sun was a diffuse glare, like it was located everywhere. There was no cloud at all. He was squinting so much the muscles in his face were hurting.
It's new to me, she said, that's for sure. I figured it would be hot here, but this is completely unbelievable.
Then she asked him when he'd been in the Middle East and the Pacific Islands, and he responded with the expanded 10-minute version of his autobiography, because he found he was enjoying her company. The first 36 years were easy enough, as always. They made a nicely linear tale of childhood and adulthood, accomplishment and progress, punctuated and underlined in the military fashion with promotions and medals. The last few years were harder, as usual. The aimlessness, the drifting. He saw them as a triumph of disengagement, but he knew other people didn't. So, as always, he just told the story and answered the awkward questions and let her think whatever she wanted. Then she responded in turn with an autobiography of her own. It was more or less the same as his, in an oblique way. He was the son of a soldier. She was the daughter of a lawyer. She had never really considered straying away from the family trade, just like he hadn't. All her life she had seen people talk the talk and walk the walk, and then she had set about following after them, just like he had. She spent 7 years at Harvard, where he spent 4 at West Point. Now she was 25, and the rough equivalent of an ambitious lieutenant in the law business. He had been an ambitious lieutenant at 25, too, and he could remember exactly how it felt. "So what's next?" he asked.
"After this," she said. "Back to New York, I guess. Maybe Washington, D.C. I'm getting interested in policy."
"You won't miss this down-and-dirty stuff?"
"I will, probably. And I won't give it up completely. Maybe I'll volunteer a few weeks a year. Certainly I'll try to fund it. That's where all our money comes from, you know. Big firms in the big cities, with a conscience."
"I'm glad to hear it. Somebody needs to do something."
"That's for sure."
"What about Hack Walker?" he asked. "Will he make a difference?"
She shrugged at the wheel.
"I don't know him very well, but his reputation is good. And he can't make things any worse, can he? It's a really screwed up system. I mean, I'm a Democrat, big D and little d, so theoretically to elect your judges is perfectly fine with me. Theoretically. But in practice, it's totally out of hand. I mean, what does it cost to run a campaign down here?"
"No idea."
"Well, figure it out. We're talking about Pecos County, basically, because that's where the bulk of the electorate is. A bunch of posters, some newspaper ads, half a dozen homemade commercials on the local TV channels. A market like this, you'd have to work really hard to spend more than 5 figures. But these guys are all picking up contributions, running to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. Millions, maybe. And the law says if you don't get around to spending it, you don't have to give it back. You just keep it for miscellaneous future expenses. So what it amounts to is they're all picking up their bribes in advance. The law firms and the oil people and the special interests are paying now for future help. You can get seriously rich running for judge in Texas. And if you get elected and do the right things all your years on the bench, you retire straight into some big law partnership, and you get asked onto the boards of a half dozen big companies. So it's not really about trying to get elected a judge. It's about trying to get elected a prince, like turning into royalty overnight."
"So will Walker make a difference?" he asked again.
"He will if he wants to. Simple as that. And right now, he'll make a difference to Carmen Greer. That's what we need to focus on."
He nodded. She slowed the car, hunting a turn. They were back up in ranch country, somewhere near the Brewer place, he guessed, although he didn't recognize any specific features of the landscape. It was laid out in front of him, so dry and so hot, it seemed the parched vegetation could burst into flames at any moment.
"Does it bother you she told all those lies?" Alice asked.
He shrugged. "Yes and no. Nobody likes to be lied to, I guess. But look at it from her point of view. She reached the conclusion he had to be gotten rid of, so she set about achieving it."
"So there was extensive premeditation?"
"Should I be telling you this?"
"I'm on her side."
He nodded. "She had it all planned. She said she looked at 100 guys and sounded out 12 before she picked on me." Alice nodded back.
"Actually, that makes me feel better somehow, you know? Kind of proves how bad it was,
Surely nobody would do that without some kind of really urgent necessity.
Me too, he said. I feel the same way.
She slowed again and turned the car onto a farm track. After 10 yards, the track passed under a poor imitation of the older ranch gates he had seen elsewhere. It was just a rectangle of unpainted 2x4s nailed together, leaning slightly to the left. The crossbar had a name written on it. It was indecipherable, scorched and faded to nothing by the sun. Beyond it were a few acres of cultivated ground. There were straight rows of turned dirt and an irrigation system pieced together from improvised parts. There were piles of fieldstone here and there, neat wooden frames to carry wires to support the bushes that no longer grew. Everything was dry and crisp and fallow. The whole picture spoke of agonizing months of backbreaking manual labor in the fearsome heat, followed by tragic disappointment. There was a house 100 yards beyond the last row of turned earth. It wasn't a bad place. It was small and low, wood-framed, painted dull white with a finish that had cracked and crazed in the sun. There was a windmill behind it. There was a barn with an irrigation pump venting through the roof and a damaged 3/4-ton truck standing idle. The house had a closed front door. Alice parked the VW right next to it.
They're called Garcia, she said. I'm sure they're home.
$20,000 in a grocery bag had an effect like he had never seen before. It was literally a gift of life. There were 5 Garcias, 2 generations, 2 in the older and 3 in the younger. They were all small and scrappy people. The parents were maybe in their late 40s, and the eldest child was a girl of maybe 24. The younger offspring were both boys and could have been 22 and 20. They all stood quietly together inside the doorway. Alice said a bright hello and walked straight past them and spilled the money on their kitchen table.
He changed his mind, she said in Spanish. He decided to pay up, after all.
The Garcias formed a semicircle around the table, silent, looking at the money, like it represented such a stunning reversal of fortune that no reaction was possible. They didn't ask any questions, just accepted it had finally happened, and then paused a second and burst out with a long list of plans. First, they would get the telephone reconnected so they wouldn't have to walk 8 miles to their neighbor's place. Then, the electricity. Then they would pay back what they had borrowed from friends. Then they would buy diesel fuel so the irrigation pump could run again. Then they would get their truck fixed and drive it to town for seed and fertilizer. They went quiet again when it dawned on them they could get a whole crop grown and harvested and sold before the winter came. Richard hung back and looked around the room. There was an eat-in, live-in kitchen opening to a front parlor. The parlor was hot and airless and had a yard-long encyclopedia set and a bunch of religious statuettes on a low shelf. A single picture on the wall. The picture was a photograph of a boy. It was a studio portrait. The boy was maybe 14, with a precocious smudge of mustache above his lip. He was wearing a white confirmation robe and smiling shyly. The picture was in a black frame and had a dusty square of black fabric hung around it.
My eldest son, a voice said. That picture was made just before we left our village in Mexico.
Richard turned and found the mother standing behind him.
He was killed on the journey here, she said.
Richard nodded. I know, I heard. The border patrol. I'm very sorry. It was 12 years ago.
His name was Raul Garcia.
The way she said his name was like a small act of remembrance. What happened? Reacher asked. The woman was silent for a second.
It was awful, she said. They hunted us for 3 hours in the night.
We were walking and running. They had a truck with bright lights.
We got split up,
divided in the dark. Raul was with his sister. He was protecting her.
She was 12.
He sent her one way and walked the other way into the lights.
He knew it was worse if they captured girls. He gave himself up to save his sister.
But they didn't try to arrest him or anything, didn't even ask him any questions. They just shot him down and drove away. They came near where I was hiding. They were laughing. I heard them, like it was a sport.
I'm very sorry, Reacher said again. The woman shrugged.
It was very common then.
It was a bad time, in a bad area. We found that out later. Either our guy didn't know or didn't care. We found out that there were more than 20 people killed on that route in a year. For fun. Some of them in horrible ways.
Raul was lucky just to be shot. Some of them, their screams could be heard for miles across the desert in the darkness.
Some of the girls were carried away and never seen again.
Reacher said nothing. The woman gazed at the picture for a moment longer. Then she turned away with an immense physical effort and forced a smile and gestured that Reacher should rejoin the party in the kitchen.
We have tequila, she said quietly. Saved, especially for this day.
There were shot glasses on the table, and the daughter was filling them from a bottle. The girl that Raul had saved, all grown up. The younger son passed the glasses around. Reacher took his and waited. The Garcia father motioned for quiet and raised his drink toward Alice in a toast.
To our lawyer? He said,
for proving the great Frenchman Honoré de Balzac wrong when he wrote, laws are spider webs through which the big flies pass and the little ones get caught. Alice blushed a little. Garcia smiled at her and turned to Reacher.
And to you, sir, for your generous assistance in our time of need.
De nada, Reacher said. No high decay. The tequila was rough, and Raoul's memory was everywhere, so they refused a second shot and left the Garcias alone with their celebrations. They had to wait again until the air conditioner made the VW's interior bearable. Then they headed back to Pecos.
I enjoyed that,
Alice said.
Felt like I finally made a difference.
You did make a difference.
Even though it was you made it happen.
You did the skilled labor, he said.
Nevertheless, thanks.
Did the Border Patrol ever get investigated? He asked. She nodded.
Thoroughly, according to the record. There was enough noise made. Nothing specific, of course. But enough general rumors to make it inevitable.
And?
And nothing. It was a whitewash. Nobody was even indicted.
But did it stop?
She nodded again.
As suddenly as it started. So obviously they got the message.
That's how it works, he said. I've seen it before. Different places, different situations.
The investigation isn't really an investigation as such. It's more like a message,
like a coded warning, like saying, you can't get away with this anymore, so you better stop doing it, whoever you are.
But justice wasn't done, Reacher. 20-some people died, some of them gruesomely. It was like a pogrom, a year long. Somebody should have paid.
Did you recognize that Balzac quotation? He asked.
Sure, she said. I went to Harvard, after all.
Remember Herbert Marcuse, too?
He was later, right? A philosopher, not a novelist?
He nodded. Born 99 years after Balzac, a social and political philosopher. He said, law and order are everywhere, the law and order which protect the established hierarchy.
That stinks.
Of course it does, he said, but that's the way it is. They made it back to Pecos inside an hour. She parked on the street right outside the legal mission, so they only had to walk 10 feet through the heat. But 10 feet was enough. It was like walking 10 feet through a blast furnace with a hot towel wrapped around your head. They made it inside and found Alice's desk covered in little handwritten notes stuck randomly to its surface. She peeled them off and scooped them up and read them through, one by one. Then she dropped them all in a drawer.
I'm going to check in with Carmen at the jail, she said. But the prince and the ballistics sat back from the lab. Hack Walker wants to see you about them. Sounds like he's got a problem.
I'm sure he has, Reacher said.
They walked to the door and paused a second before braving the sidewalk again. Then they split up in front of the courthouse. Alice walked on toward the jailhouse entrance, and Reacher went up the front steps and inside. The public areas and the staircase had no air conditioning. Making it up just one floor soaked him in sweat. The intern at the desk pointed silently to Hack Walker's door. Reacher went straight in and found Walker studying a technical report. He had the look of a man who thinks if he reads a thing often enough, maybe it will change what it says.
She killed him, he said. Everything matches. The ballistics are perfect.
Reacher sat down in front of the desk.
Your prints were on the gun, too, Walker said.
Reacher made no reply. If he was going to lie, he was going to save it for when it would count for something.
You're in the National Fingerprint Database, Walker said. You know that?
Reacher nodded.
All military personnel are. So maybe you found the gun discarded, Walker said. Maybe you handled it because you were worried about a family with a kid having a stray firearm around. Maybe you picked it up and put it away in a place of safety.
Maybe, Reacher said. Walker turned a page in the file.
But it's worse than that, isn't it? He said.
Is it?
You a praying man?
No, Reacher said.
You damn well should be. You should get on your knees and thank somebody.
Like who?
Maybe the state cops. Maybe old Sloop himself for calling the sheriff.
Why?
Because they just saved your life.
How?
Because you were on the road in a squad car when this went down. If they had left you in the bunkhouse, you'd be our number one suspect.
Why?
Walker turned another page. Your prints were on the gun, he said again, and on every one of the shell cases, and on the magazine, and on the ammunition box. You loaded that gun, Reacher. Probably test-fired it, too, they think, then reloaded it ready for action. She bought it, so it was technically her possession, but it looks from the fingerprint evidence that it was effectively your weapon.
Reacher said nothing.
So you see, Walker asked,
You should set up a little shrine to the state police and give thanks every morning you wake up alive and free. Because the obvious thing for me to do would be come right after you. You could have crept up from the bunkhouse to the bedroom, easy as anything. Because you knew where the bedroom was, didn't you? I talked to Bobby. He told me you spent the previous night in there. Did you really think he'd just sit quiet in the barn? He probably watched you two going at it through the window. I didn't sleep with her, Reacher said. I was on the sofa. Walker smiled. Think a jury would believe you? Or an ex-whore? I don't. So we could easily prove some kind of a sexual jealousy motive. The next night, you could have crept up there and got the gun out of the drawer and shot Snoop dead and then crept back again. Only you couldn't have, because you were in the back of a police car at the time. So you're a lucky man, Reacher, because right now a white male shooter would be worth his weight in gold to me. You could go integrate Death Row single-handed. A big wasp like you, in among all the blacks and the Hispanics, I'd look like the fairest prosecutor in Texas. The election would be over before it started. Reacher said nothing. Walker sighed. But you didn't do it, unfortunately, he said. She did it. So now what have I got? The premeditation thing is going from bad to worse. It's just about shot to hell now. Clearly, she thought, and she thought even to the extent of hooking up with some ex-army guy to give her weapons training. We got your record after we got your prints. You were a pistol-shooting champ 2 straight years. You did a spell as an instructor, for Christ's sake. You loaded a gun for her? What the hell am I going to do? What you planned, Reacher said. Wait for the medical reports. Walker went quiet, then he sighed again, then he nodded. We'll have them tomorrow, he said. And you know what I did? I hired a defense expert to take a look at them. You know, there are experts who only appear for the defense. Normally, we wouldn't go near them. Normally, we want to know how much we can get out of a thing, not how little. But I hired a defense guy, the exact same guy Alice Aaron would hire, if she could afford him, because I want somebody who can persuade me there's a faint possibility Carmen's telling the truth, so I can let her go without looking like I'm crazy. So relax, Reacher said. It'll be over tomorrow. I hope so, Walker said. And it might be. Al Eugene's office is sending over some financial stuff. Al did all that kind of work for Snoop. So if there's no financial motive and the medical reports are good, maybe I can relax. She had no money at all, Reacher said. It was one of her big problems. Walker nodded. Good, he said, because her big problems solved my big problems. The office went quiet underneath the drone of the air conditioners. The back of Reacher's neck felt cold and wet. You should be more proactive, he said, with the election. Yeah? How? Do something popular. Like what? Like reopen something about the border patrol? People would like that. I just met a family whose son was murdered by them. Walker went quiet again for a second, then just shook his head. Ancient history, he said. Not to those families, Reacher said. There were 20-some homicides in a year. Most of the survivors live around here, probably. And most of them will be voters by now. The Border Patrol was investigated, Walker said. Before my time, but it was pretty damn thorough. I went through the files years ago. You have the files? Sure. Mostly happened down in Echo. And all